Great to have you with us on Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we're starting the show today by talking about getting into running as a form of exercise for your mind and for your body. And Martinus Evans is with us today. He's finished more than 8 marathons after his doctor told him to lose weight or die in 2012. He's also coached hundreds of runners. He founded the Slow AF Run Club, a community of over 20,000 members worldwide. And he's the author of the book, Slow AF Run Club, the ultimate guide for anybody who wants to run. So as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you're part of a run club, or maybe you're too intimidated to try a race, or maybe even to start running. I think Martinus has some help for you there. You can join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Martinus Evans, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, thank you for having me.
So you're the founder of Slow AF Run Club. And I went online to look at it, at your online presence, and I was impressed. Tell us more about the goals of your run club.
So the goal of this run club is to inspire 1 million people to start running in the body that they have right now. I personally have this huge story of, you know, the doctor calling me fat, and that has translated into me running 8 marathons and hundreds of other different races. And one of the things I just learned is that there's a lot of intimidation when it comes to the sport of running, and a lot of other barriers that I want to be able to level lower so that other people are able to start running into the sport that I truly love.
And so that's kind of a goal of the Slow AF Run Club.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm sure many people have the idea in their mind of what a runner is supposed to look like. Why is it important for you to challenge that?
I think it's a very important job to challenge this, because when you think about most like races out there, like think about your most favorite marathon, whether it's New York City or Boston, most people think marathon runners are the people who are in the front, the elite athletes who have been training their whole life to do that. But once you get past the elite athletes, people who are running these marathons comes in so many various body shapes and shades. And I just want other people to understand that running is for them and they can do it. It may look different from what an elite athlete does, and that's okay, because you're not an elite athlete. You're about getting out there and overcoming your own odds.
So how did you get started? Did you just say, okay, I'm going to start running?
No. I wish it was that simple, right? So as you stated in the intro, back in 2012, I was working in this commission sales job. I was on my feet 8 to 10 hours a day. I went to go see a doctor because I developed some hip pain. Instead of this doctor telling me what was wrong with my hip pain, he told me to lose weight or die. So as we're sitting in this doctor's office, and you know, we're exchanging words and four-letter words that I probably can't say on NPR, I remember telling this doctor, I'm going to run a marathon, and he laughed at me. It wasn't no ha-ha-ha. Like, he gave me the biggest laugh that you would think your favorite comedian was telling a joke. And he told me if I ran a marathon, I would die on that course. So with all of that being said and all of the anger that happened in that appointment, I stormed out the doctor's office and I bought running shoes that day. And I was on a journey to prove that doctor wrong. And it's something I've been doing for the past, you know, 11, 12 years. Me running 8 marathons and participating in a lot of other races shows that a man of my size and a man of my stature can actually run a marathon and not die.
Yeah, you're a pretty big guy. Just like, I'm a fairly big guy myself. And I run, I don't know if I run the same speed as you, but it's fairly slow, but I can still do it.
Exactly. And I think that's the biggest thing, Larry, is that running is, I would say, allegory for life. Like, you have to overcome so many obstacles while running that you can take that into other life's issues and be able to overcome that. And that's really the goal of the Slow AF Run Club. And my message is to let people know that you can't overcome life's marathons.
Well, I have not run a marathon. I've done practically everything up to a marathon, but it's always kind of, I remember the first one, even the 5 and 10Ks, it's intimidating to get out there. You know, you look around at everybody else's, they look like they're all professional athletes.
Larry, can I tell you about my first 5K? So my first 5K, I lined up way in the back. I'm talking about so far in the back that I lined up between a mom with a double stroller and a golden retriever attached to it. Like, that's how much confidence that I had in myself when I first started running. And then when the gun went off and I started to pass the moms and started to pass some of the walkers and then eventually started to pass like other people who was running, that's when it hit me that, oh, snap, I'm actually a runner and I can do this too and I belong here.
Well, that's great. I can remember one 10K where it was a very rugged course through the woods and I twisted my knee about halfway through. And I think there was one person who finished after me. Mm. And by that time, I finished, but it took about a year for my knee to get better again. But by that time, everybody was over. I had long since gone to have beer or whatever, or soft drinks or food. And it was like, oh, he's finally here. You know, the people that had to be at the site. It was a bit discouraging.
It was a bit discouraging, but one of the things I try to do is flip it on its head to say, what type of determination and grit and mental fortitude did it take you to finish that race and not quit? Even though you were the second to last person, like, you finished that race. And I think for a lot of people, we need to celebrate that. I understand, like, celebrating the people who come in first, second, and third place because they get money for that.
Yeah.
But after that, everybody else is there for their own joy, their own reasons, and their own grit. So for you to be out there and still finish that race, be it you the second to last person, I think that's something to be celebrated, and I think that's something to applaud for. And I think those are the things that I really are trying to change in the sport of running.
What do you remember from your first marathon?
I remember a few things, right? I remember thinking to myself, I don't know how I'm going to finish this race only running. My longest run to that date was maybe 20 miles. So I was thinking to myself, I don't know how I'm going to finish the last 6 miles. That was the first thing I remember. I remember faintly this lady giving me a handful of Jolly Ranchers and telling me, thank you for running the race. And I remember telling her, you know, thank you for giving me these Jolly Ranchers because I thought I was going to quit. And the last thing I remember about my first marathon is how proud my wife and my mother was proud of me. Because nobody in my family knew how long a marathon was. So when I told them it was 26.2 miles, my mother, being an older woman, was like, ooh, I might need to be out on the course. I might need to follow you in the car. What happens if you pass out?
Well, how long did you train before you ran? I mean, how many other races, and how did you train to get up to that?
So that was an initial journey that took me about 18 months, right? So from the doctor's appointment to me running my first marathon took about 18 months. And it really started off with me training for my first 5K. And then I ran that. And then I ran a bunch of other 5Ks. And then from there, moved up to 10K, ran a few 10Ks, moved from 10K to half marathon. I trained for a few half marathons. And then I was like, you know what? I think I'm ready. And then from that point on, just continue that momentum from half marathon to training for a full marathon.
Yeah. Did you, I think you said in your writings that you got some sort of negative comments from time to time in some of those races that were less than complimentary, let's put it that way.
So I get what you're trying to lay down, Larry. So yes, the most simple answer is yes. People, I don't know what it is about people teasing people on the course or like trying to do your best, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what's going on. Like, I've trained how many ever weeks for this thing, and then somebody has the nerve to tell you to lose weight or get faster, and it's like, I'm doing the best thing I can do. So even the name of my run club, the Slow AF Run Club, comes from somebody heckling me, right? He called me, like I said, words that I can't say on NPR, but, you know, he called me slow as blank, right? Mm-hmm. And he told me to go home, and he told me that I didn't deserve to be out on this course, even though he was the one that was on the sideline drinking a beer, and I was the one who was actually running in the race.
Oh, and how did that just get started? How did that run club get started?
So it started right before the pandemic. I moved around a lot, and I remember moving to the San Francisco Bay Area from the Boston area, and not necessarily having any friends in the Bay Area to run with. So from that point, I was like, well, I have all of these internet friends. Like, how can we wrangle these people together in order to, like, start this group? So from there, it started off with about 40 people who were, like, running and training for marathons, and we were trying to figure out which races we were going to run. And then the pandemic happened. And for most people, like, that was the worst period of time to happen for them. But I think for the Slow AF Run Club, that was the best time, because we were growing like nobody's business, because people wanted to run. They liked the name. And then we started to host virtual races where, you know, you can run anywhere and we'll send you an amazing medal if you ran that race. So we went from like 40 people to like 4,000 people in the first month of the pandemic, and we just continued to grow from there.
Yeah, that's amazing. I remember I didn't get a medal for finishing that 10K that I mentioned earlier. I think they must have been out of medals by the time I, you know, got participation medals or whatever by the time I got there.
You know, that happens. There are some races that I'm still waiting on a medal as well. There's also races that sent me a medal like 4 months after I finished the race. And I was like, what is this? Like, what? What is this?
Martinez Evans, our guest today. He is the founder of Slow AF Run Club. He's completed more than 100 races, including 8 marathons. And he's done it with determination and a bit of humor, too. I can tell that for sure. You have a question for him, or maybe an experience to share. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, or you can email us, email address ideas@wpr.org. Clara Neipert's our producer today. Jeff Robbins is our technical director. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR. Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Martinez Evans, and he's here to tell you why running can be for you no matter your body or your experience. It's great to have him with us today. He's founder of Slow AF Run Club. And you can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's turn to Louise in Dodgeville. Louise, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I have a question for your guest about how to prevent injuries, like as a starting running, you know, as in a non-traditional, you know, elite athlete body. Like, how did you not injure yourself as you started running?
Yeah, as a larger person.
Absolutely, Louise. The best thing that I can tell the people that I coach is that most people who get injured fall for the terrible twos. They do something too much, too soon, or too fast. So the first thing I would tell people is that curb your enthusiasm when it comes to running. I know for most people, they want to get out and run as fast and as long as possible. And that's not necessarily the case for long distance running. You basically want to start out as slow as possible with the shortest distance possible. So one of the things I tell people who are just starting out running is to run for 15 seconds and then walk for 90 seconds and then see how that works for you. And then if you feel like you can run a little bit more, try 30 seconds. If you feel like you can run a walk a little bit less, try 60 seconds of walking, right? Start there. This next thing is that a lot of people get this misconception that you have to, like, the only thing you can do with running is just run. And that's far from the point, right? A lot of us live and work on our butts, for lack of a better word. So a lot of us work sitting down a lot. So what happens is we have a lot of imbalances when it comes to our muscles and our lower leg. Since we sit down on our butts a lot, there's a syndrome called dead butt syndrome that happens when you're not firing, when your glutes are not firing enough. So for a lot of people, it's really strengthening your glutes, your calves, and what they call in a scientific term, your posterior chain muscles. Because if you strengthen those are the muscles that, A, make you become a better runner, but also help prevent some of those overuse injuries.
So start slow, and I like that idea of timing, like maybe run for 15 seconds and then walk for, what'd you say, 30 seconds or 60 seconds. I think that's a great idea as well. Louise, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Joy in West Bend will go to you. Hi, Joy.
Hi. Yeah, I second the emotion about don't get macho when you're trying to run. The whole point for me has been just to have good training for myself. I started running when I was about 25, and I'd run a few days, and then I'd, you know, fall off the wagon and start over. So then when I had a boyfriend who encouraged me to get into races, it was not for the point of winning the race. I'm a short person. I was a little overweight, but I just wanted to finish the race. So I got into 5Ks and then 10Ks. I would say for people who want to take up running for losing weight, it does happen. It does happen, and it takes a while. I figure that it took me about 6 months to get used to running on a regular basis and then liking it, and it controlled my appetite after that. I could feel like I was hungry at first when I first started running. After a race, I'd be hungry, but after a while, after 6 months or a year, then it really helped me control my appetite. So after I moved to Milwaukee from California, where all this fitness stuff was all the rage, I found it was a little harder to keep running in the winter. And my work schedule was such that I needed to decrease the amount of time I spent running. I would get up and run before going to work. So I decreased it from an hour, 60 minutes, to about 20 minutes. You know, they said that was all that's really, really necessary for an aerobic workout. So an interesting thing that happened was then I was able to lose more weight when I kind of changed the metabolism in my body, I guess.
Interesting. Well, Martinez, comment on Joy's comments.
So, yeah, I think there's a few things there. One of the things I tell people is that if weight loss is your thing, training for a marathon is probably the worst possible thing that you can do. And I say that is because physiologically, there's a lot of once you go into long distance running, you're not burning fat. You're burning carbs, right? And you're burning carbs that are stored into your liver. So if people are trying to lose weight, you know, sticking to those shorter distance of short bursts between 25 to 30 minutes will probably be the best way for them. But the other thing I try to tell people is that, you know, the numbers on the scale don't matter as much as you think it does. I know we are stuck on like that number on the scale, but the main goal for people is physical activity, right? Being active has so many benefits in your life. regardless if you lose weight. I'm talking about mental health benefits. I'm talking about cardiovascular. There's so many other benefits that comes from regular physical activity that I think sometimes people miss the point of, oh, you're exercising, how much weight you lost.
Yeah.
And it's way much bigger than how much weight you lost.
Yeah. Joy, I get up about 5:30 every morning to do my my run, walk, whatever, through the neighborhood for a few miles. And that's because I'm a morning person. I like it doing that in the morning. And that's a good way to get started. And I agree 100% with Martinez. Probably hasn't helped me lose much weight, but a little bit, maybe. But it's kept it probably from getting any heavier than I am, for sure. And weight, you're right about the weight. It's more the journey and just being out there and being active, Martinez.
Absolutely. I think for me, the person that I am now comes from the fact that I have trained for these marathons and I'm ran these races, because I've learned so much throughout that journey of the person who I am and who I want to be, and how to even transform some of those obstacles and struggles of that I was having in running, and how to translate that to other parts of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Joy, thank you so much for sharing that. Let's go to Judy in De Pere. Hi, Judy.
Hello, how are you today?
Great, appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Sure, so first of all, your guest's running club sounds totally like my kind of running club, because that is totally what I am. I am slow. I'm not really a runner, I'm more of a walker. But one thing I have accomplished is a Ragnar. I'm not sure if you're familiar, okay, but I got to do a trail Ragnar a couple years ago.
Those are fun.
And I have to be the first to say that I have this little Ragnar sticker on my car, and every once in a while somebody will look at me and say, "Did you run a Ragnar?" And I push my chest out a little bit and say, "Yes, I did." So it was just a great accomplishment.
So what's a Ragnar, Martinez?
So a Ragnar is like a relay race. Sometimes it can be a couple hundred miles, and people hop in vans, and it's usually like teams at 8 or 10, and it's a party. It's literally a party on wheels, because typically there's two vans, you got people in the van, there's some people running at night, you're cheering people on, some people even decorate their van, so it becomes like this thing, right? This party. When it's all said and done, it's this experience that you'll never forget. It's one of those life-changing experiences that I talk about with when it comes to running.
Oh, man. Judy, that's a great story. Thank you so much for calling. Larry in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. So you can hear, I have a little back, and I'm from originally from Kenya, but I've learned a lot. And I won a Fox Cities Marathon in Aberton in 2023. My question to the guest, so can you speak a little bit about mental toughness when when you hit the wall, like if you're running a long distance, a marathon, you hit 20 miles or 10 miles or 5K for those people who run 5K. How can you speak a little bit how you can help those people who want to run the 5K, 10K, or 20 miles?
Yeah.
And you hit the wall. What do you need? You know, that's also the mental toughness of any long distance is really key.
Well, Larry, thank you. And congratulations for winning that marathon in Appleton. That's a great achievement. But what about this? His questions relating to getting through it, the mental toughness, and so forth.
And I think that's one of the things that that I've just been talking about since I started this journey, is how much running can be life-changing to you. So, yes, in each race, especially in the marathon distance, there's this mythical wall that everyone talks about, and this pretty much happens around mile 20. So you have about 6 more miles to go. And typically that's where most people start to break down and be like, their body start to break down. And from that point, it's all mental and heart. So when you're training for marathons or when you're training for races, these are things that you have to like mentally prepare for. And like, how does that come out for me? It comes out in various different things. Affirmations, right? So I'm chanting to myself, telling myself to keep going one step at a time. It's mindfulness, right? I think for a lot of people, we get out of, woo, that's 26.2 miles. Like, I'll never be able to do that. And for most people, what we're trying to get people to understand is that you're not worried about the distance you got to run. What you're worried about is that mile that you win, that next step that you win, that next breath that you're taking in order to continue to move forward. So those are things that I personally use when overcoming the wall.
Yeah, a lot runs through your mind, doesn't it, when you're in a situation like that?
Oh, man. I'm talking about, Larry, from what I'm going to eat for dinner to did I leave the pilot light on the stove and everything in between.
I know that feeling. Larry, thank you so much again for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, two numbers, 800-642-1234 or email to WPR. Well, I know you've been a spokesman or are a spokesman for Adidas, but we should talk about shoes. You said the first thing you did was go out and buy a pair of running shoes. And what you need a good pair of shoes. Some can get pretty expensive. What do you want to recommend to someone who wants to try out running?
So one of the things I recommend to people who don't have any experience in running is find your local running specialty shoe store. So these people have a treasure trove of knowledge when it comes to running shoes, how things fit, how things wear down, especially some of these running shoe stores. Like some of the times the brands are even there so that way you can try out the shoes and things of that sort. So that would be the first thing that I recommend, getting people a good pair of running shoes. You don't have to spend $300 or $400. You know, $100 pair or $50 pair of running shoes. I would say get the best pair of running shoes that you can afford and start there. Like, don't get any of the beaters. Don't get any of the shoes that you've been having around for the past 15 years, because that's how, for most people, that's how you get injured, because you got these worn down shoes and then you start to do a new physical activity and now you're in injury time.
Yeah, I've used Brooks Phantoms. Those are what I use, and I had a foot doctor on one time talking about running and shoes, and we agreed that about 500 miles was about it for a pair of shoes, and you know, you're running along with them, and I got 500. I could still go more. But then if you go buy a new pair, you say, oh, my goodness, this makes a difference.
Life is so much different once you get a new pair of shoes after 500 miles.
Go ahead.
I don't say for me, for being a larger individual, sometimes I can't even get 500 miles out of a pair of shoes. They start to break down for me around 200 to 300 miles.
Yeah.
And then from there, those become my grocery store shoes.
Okay. Let's talk clothing for a minute. Fabrics, materials that are best for running.
Absolutely, Larry. Let me tell you about this monster that I incurred when I first started running. It's called the Chafe Monster. And
the Chafe Monster. Okay. The Chafe Monster.
And this monster comes when you least expect it. You're out there running. And when I first started running, I ran in cotton everything, t-shirts, shorts, socks, underwear. And I remember thinking to myself, the best thing I need for myself is a nice long shower. And it felt like I was being cut by 1,000 razor blades. So when it comes to somebody who's starting to run, you know, you definitely want to look for fabrics. I would say typically avoid cotton. Especially when it comes to those high wear areas, especially if you're wearing like underwear. Like, one of the things I try to tell people is spandex is probably the best thing you can do, or compression wear or compression shorts when it comes to your legs or your top. If you're jiggling, it's jiggling, if you know what I mean, right? you definitely want to need some type of compression, some type of spandex, so that way you can kind of keep the moving parts from not moving, right? So that's the best thing. And then, I would say polyester, some poly blends, but typically stay away from that cotton unless you want to visit from the Chafe Monster.
And what about, let's talk about stretching. That kind of reminds me of stretching a bit. It's a way to loosen up your muscles, but what muscles should we make sure to stretch out?
The muscle in between your ears. But what I mean by that is that we have to leave that ego at the door. We have to leave some of those preconceived notions that we think of running at the door. And that's what I mean by stretching the muscle in between your ears. Of course, you definitely want to do some type of active stretching, some butt kicks. I don't want to go too deep into stretching, but like you can definitely Google and YouTube a good stretching routine, or you can go to our website, slowlyuprunclub.com, and we have a lot of resources there as well.
Yeah, we should recommend it. slowafrunclub.com.
Yes.
I got that right, I think.
Yes.
Describe what you got on there.
So this is actually my merchandise. So one of the things that the Slow AF Run Club has is merchandise that I designed and created and sourced and went to China to find manufacturers and things of that sort. And the reason why I did this is because as a larger individual, when you start getting to sports specific clothing for running, like they stop at a 1X. I don't know what it is when it comes to running gear or sometimes exercise gear, like they stop at a certain size and they're like, well, nope, no running clothes, no exercise clothes for the larger people. Right, Larry. And that is almost like, that doesn't make sense when you think about how the world beats down on a person of size. You know, somebody, when it comes to the internet bullies or people in your family that's like, you know, you need to lose weight and you need to get active. And then you go to the store and there's nothing to fit you. So it's like an oxymoron. It's like, do the world really want me to get active and be healthy, or do they really just want to point fingers at me? So one of the things that we did with the Slow AF Run Club is that we designed clothes that goes from, in most cases, from an extra small up to a 5X, because we wanted to be highly inclusive with the individuals who are able to wear our stuff and to let people know that you belong in this sport. Even if nobody else tells you you belong, let me be the person to let you know that you do.
That's really cool. And you've got it. And you, of course, your book goes through, I mean, everything, all the details of running, pretty much.
Yeah, man. Like, the reason why I wrote this book, Larry, is that most running books out there are written by elite athletes or coaches of elite athletes. So if you think about a regular everyday person who's just trying to get off the couch, I would say 99% of the books out there is going to be useless to them. And they're going to be meant to felt like they can't do this because it's written by elite athletes and coaches of elite athletes. So with my book, it's written from the point of a 300-pound man who's ran 8 marathons and hundreds of other different races to say, come along with me. I'm going to share my journey with you. And I'm going to tell you all the things that I learned the hard way, like how to avoid the Chafe Monster.
By the way, did you ever go back to that? Did you ever go back to that doctor?
Unfortunately not. You know, I actually end up moving, I would say very shortly after me running that marathon, I ended up moving to a different state. So I did not go back to that doctor. And, you know, it's been about over 10 years now. I'm pretty sure he don't think about me and I don't think about him. I'm pretty sure, Larry, I'm just a fat guy that he called fat that day, and probably one of many fat people he called fat and told they should die.
Oh, man. It would be fun to send him a note along with a photo of all of your finished marathons. So,
yeah,
that's me thinking, not you. But It would be something I'd be tempted to do.
I know, right? It would be a dish. So, sir, what they say? Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Patricia in Watertown, your turn. Hi, Patricia.
Thank you for taking my call. I hadn't heard this before, and she said, no, you had not. There's a Pavlo Normie Run in Hurley, Wisconsin, which means way up in northern Wisconsin, 26 miles.
Yep.
Have you done that one, Larry?
I have not done that one. And I bet Martinez hasn't either.
I have not. I don't even know where that's at in the world.
Well,
and then come west, or no, pardon me, east to Hurley, 40 miles.
Well,
however, the run is run between the little town of Upson to Hurley, 26 miles.
Well, that's one of them. Patricia, thanks for calling. That's one of many, many marathon races that occur across Wisconsin, and I don't even know how many there are in the U.S. There's got to be thousands.
Hundreds, thousands. There's a conference that happens every year. It's called, I think, Running USA, where majority of the race directors come together and fellowship. But it'd be so many race directors there, hundreds or even thousands of races or marathons in the U.S. alone.
Well, I tell you what, you've got a great story here, and we didn't get through half of what I had to ask you about eating and everything else. So maybe we can do this again down the road. If you'd be willing to come sit in on a show, we'd love to have you back, Martinez.
Absolutely. I had a ball, man.
I did too. And it's slowafrunclub.com, right?
Yes. slowafrunclub.com.
Okay, thank you again for joining us. Appreciate it very much. Martinez Evans, he's the founder of the Slow AF Run Club. Completed more than 100 races and 8 marathons. He's a big guy, and he's able to do it. And I think you can. I hope you can, too. Love to have him back and do this again. And we're going to switch our from running to golfing. And we're going to take a look at Wisconsin's golf courses. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, it's a wealthy person's sport. It is not. I'm living proof. I'm not a wealthy guy, but I've been able to do a lot of golfing in my lifetime. And Rob Jansen, coming up next, executive director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. And we'll talk about golf courses and what they're up to. And Wisconsin has been voted the top state in the nation for public golf courses. What do you think of that? We'll learn more right after this. I'm Larry Mueller for Wisconsin Public Radio.